In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, what man other than Job suffered as publicly as Jesus? The reasons for their suffering, of course, were very different. Job suffered as an opportunity to use his faith and trust in God. Jesus' suffering, which included death on the cross, was to be the full ransom price for the payment that would reconcile us to God. Isaiah put it so beautifully in chapter 53 when he says, "The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." This contemporary of perhaps Abraham has come to be synonymous with having to bear a heavy burden. We talk about someone going through the suffering of Job. Maybe you've also heard the expression of someone having the patience of Job. Well, if you've ever read the book, you know that probably would be better to call it the impatience of Job. This morning, we will center our attention on what Job says about the condition of his life at that particular moment. They are the words of a believer. They are the words of a child of God under great duress. Satan was very wrong to accuse Job before God, "Stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will curse you to your face." Job did not do that, of course. And doesn't that remind us of Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 8, right after our epistle lesson? "Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies." It is not unusual for us to develop unrealistic ideals or expectations about our lives. Our lives aren't always the way that we expect them to be or wish that they were. And so Job this morning describes to us the realities of life. And we see that life is often difficult and seemingly hopeless, and that life is short, but not so sweet. Job does not mince words. Life is difficult, and it is filled with hard service. Job uses the picture of a soldier who's been conscripted into the army or a laborer who has been hired for the day. The phrase in English that's translated hard service is a word that literally means warfare. During the battle, a soldier is enduring warfare and can't wait till the end of his conscription, so he doesn't have to fight anymore. A laborer who labors in the heat and the sun of the day can't wait till the evening comes and he can finally collect his wages. And to intensify his thought, Job adds the picture of a slave. A slave who works from even before the sun comes up and doesn't get any reward. He doesn't earn any wages. The only thing that he has to look forward to is the shadow of the evening. Recall that Job had lost all his wealth, he had lost his family, and he had lost his health. So I think it's safe to say that other than just his very life, and a wife who said, just curse God and die. And friends who came to him and said, God is punishing you for your sins. That Job really had nothing in life whatsoever. Job's days and nights were filled with futility and misery, sorrow and pain. He says, I have been allotted months of futility, and nights of misery have been assigned to me. Sleepless Job tossed and turned all night long, while it seemed that time slowed down, if not stopped. Ever been there? Ever have that happen to you? Job's body was covered with open boils and sores and all the disgusting things that go with that. The maggots and decay that usually begin to destroy the body after you die had already begun to do their work on Job's flesh. But in spite of all that, in spite of all those difficulties, in spite of all that hard service, God preserved and kept Job in his saving faith in the promised Savior. This is where the epistle lesson, our second lesson, ties in as Job describes vividly the difficulties and realities of life. God knew Job. God had called Job. God had conformed Job to the image of his coming son through faith. God caused Job, even while he was going through all of these difficulties and warfare, to live in the glory of the forgiveness of his sins and the assurance of his eternity in heaven. Job vividly describes the realities of life. These realities are in our lives, aren't they? At one time or another, or to one degree or another, wouldn't you agree that it's relatively safe to say that there are very few people who skate through life always on smooth ice? All of us, all people go through these difficulties and hardships. Our lives are not always what we expect them to be. They don't always become the ideals that we set up for ourselves. Our daily lives are not always what we wish they were. But like him, conformed to the image of his son and glorified in Christ. We don't earn a better life, nor do we deserve a worse life. We just live life in a sinful world. We just live life that is filled with difficulties and hard service. And when God gives us good days, we thank and praise him. And when he gives us difficult days, like he gave Job, then we, with Job, say, remember, O Lord, don't forget me. I know you're there, and I know that you still love me. What you and I have to go through in those difficulties and hard service is not something God has picked out to be unusual for us. Consider our gospel lesson. Peter's mother-in-law was ill. There were lots of people who were suffering illness. Lots of people who were possessed by demons. Lots of people who were living a difficult life, unlike the ideal that they had set up. But to them and to us comes the healing Christ, who by his word and by his power according to his will, lifts and removes and takes away those burdens from us. To us in those difficult days comes that Savior who's by whose work we are justified. We are declared holy in God's sight. He is our living Redeemer. This same Job later said, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth, and I will see him with my own eyes. Even after flesh, my flesh has been destroyed by worms, in that flesh, I will see God. Job vividly describes the realities of life. And those realities are that it is difficult and it's filled with hard service. But then Joseph adds just a little bit, or Job adds just a little bit different dimension. That life is short. But he turns that familiar phrase, life is short, or something is short and sweet, by showing us that life is short, but not so sweet. To make his point, he uses the illustration of a loom and a weaver's shuttle. That shuttle is that block of wood to which the web of yarn has been attached, that the weaver shoves through back and forth as they pull the different strings together. And in the end, in order to remove the shuttle that is held only by a thread, it has to be cut off. Let me paraphrase Job. Your life is hanging by a thread, and God can cut it off very quickly. Our lives are hanging by a thread, and God can come at any time and take it away from us. Our lives are short compared to eternity. Our lives are very short compared to a lot of other people who live a lot longer. But our lives are never short in God's view, because our lives are exactly what God wants them to be in length. Oftentimes, our lives are not so sweet. Our days are short. Our days are difficult. Our days are filled with hardships. And when we look at those days, like Job, we begin to think we're never going to see happiness again. That things just seem hopeless. But then, as the hymn writer says, sweet the moments rich in blessing, which before the cross we spend. Life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. Job was looking at life from his point of view. And so often don't we do that. But we also need to look at life from God's point of view. From the point of view from Him who promises that all things work together for the good of those who love God. From the point of view of a God who says to Satan, I'm not going to listen to your accusations against my believers. And through the power of my word, I'm going to preserve and protect them, and I'm going to limit what you can do to them, all the time keeping them safe and secure by my power. Job wondered if life was ever going to be good again. And shortly, it became not only good again, but even better than he'd had it before all this happened. Job had more wealth than he'd lost. Job had some daughters who were so beautiful that there were no other women like them. Job got his health back. And he lived another 140 years in that better way that God had given him by grace. We look at our lives from our point of view. We must also look at our lives from God's point of view. God has chosen us. God has called us. God has justified us. God has given us His glory in Christ in the midst of the realities of life. And like Job, in those things, even in the realities of life, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen. And now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.